Good morning, everybody. This morning, we're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 6. It's our last week of upstream. Daniel chapter 6, Daniel in the lion's den. Some might think it's a nice story to tell children. It's a nice Bible story to tell your children at a Sunday school message or a kids ministry message. But we're going to be unpacking something of that this morning. But we as South Africans are a pretty devoted people. As a whole, our nation celebrates things like culture. As a whole, our nation is devoted to family and community. Some of us may be devoted to sport. I'm sure some of us were loving yesterday. Others may be devoted to the outdoors, to nature, to conservation. Others may be devoted to their education. They're learners by nature. Some of us are devoted to what we do for work. And none of these things bad. But like we saw last week in Hadrian's message, for those that weren't here, when those things that we devote ourselves to become little idols, like our cell phones, like our jobs, like our work, like our sports, our education, whatever it may be, when these things become idols, they become the ultimate things in our lives. They demand our attention, they demand our time, our money. When these things that we devote ourselves to, a good measure of whether it's become an idol is as if it's meant completely for self-gratification, for my own pleasure. Therein lies a problem because in the Bible, throughout the Bible, we see that we exist for God's pleasure. We exist to bring God glory. We exist, He created us as carriers of His glory, as carriers of God's image. We exist to draw alongside Him. We exist for relationship with Him. We exist to get an experience of God. It brings God great pleasure for us to have a relationship with Him. We were hardwired for relationships. We were hardwired to devote ourselves naturally to things, or naturally to God, but we tend to start devoting ourselves to things, to our work, to nature, to the outdoors, to whatever it is in our lives. It's different for individuals. If I were to have held up my marriage certificate and said, "No, this is my marriage," many of you would look at me and think, "No, that's not your marriage. That's a marriage certificate." All that states is that I'm married to Manesha on the 15th of April, 2023. I think that's right. All that certificate states is that I'm legally married to a person. That certificate is not what my relationship is all about. The relationship between myself and my wife, between a husband and a wife, is us getting to know each other, the experiences that we go through, the ups and downs, the laughing and the crying. The same can be said of our salvation. When we cross the line of salvation, yes, very important, placing our faith and trust in Jesus, very important. It's a day that many of us remember forever. For those that it's probably more of a process and a realization, there comes a point where we realize that, oh, listen, I've actually placed my faith and trust in Jesus. There comes a moment where you're actually conscious of a decision that you've made. But that's not it. That's not where the road ends. There's a relationship. There's a communion with God that needs to be ongoing. We need to be experiencing God on a daily basis. The majority of this ongoing experience of God should be happening in our devotion times, in our prayer life. And I'm going to be speaking about these things and unpacking from the book of Daniel, but we can't be living from meeting to meeting. When life gets busy, we tend to revert back to default setting of waiting for a life group meeting and then a Sunday, then a life group meeting, then a Sunday, to pray, to have an impartation of God, to experience God. And if I'm very honest, and I think if many of us are honest, when life gets very, very busy, which it has been, my devotional life and prayer life is something I tend to skip sometimes, or more often than not when life gets busy. But in actual fact, In reality, if I look at it, it's something I actually can't afford to skip. It should be something that I view as something that I cannot skip. For many, our prayer and devotional life is treated like a spare wheel. And spare wheels are for emergencies, in case of emergencies. But for Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6, we see that prayer was the steering wheel. It directed everything. And for many of us this morning, I'm trusting there's going to be a shift in my life. And I hope for you guys as well, there's going to be a shift in your lives with this whole thing of devotion and prayer. A change in your view of it. I've definitely had my view of it challenged. And there are things that I practically want to put in place from now on. But the focus of Daniel chapter 6 shouldn't really be on the lion's den. Yes, a great story. But in actual fact, the focus should be on the reason he landed up in the lion's den in the first place. Daniel 6, verse 6 to 10. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn there. It should appear up on the screen. But a little bit of context to this passage. What had happened was that King Nebuchadnezzar had passed on and King Darius had now taken over. We read from the last time we read when Hadrian spoke about another man in the fire. King Nebuchadnezzar was still the king, but this was many years later. In fact, some commentaries actually say that Daniel was well into his 80s at this point. And what had happened was the commentators say that it's sort of on our level of a prime minister. Daniel was given basically like a king's 2RC. There were a few of them. But the few of them, Daniel was the only one that was not Babylonian. He was not from Babylon. And the Babylonian leaders, they had seen Daniel praying every day. They had seen him praying to this God that they didn't believe in. And they didn't like the fact that he was not Babylonian. And so they schemed a plan to try and ouster him out of this leadership role. And so this is where we pick off. So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. Now Daniel, a hugely successful individual, many years spent in exile, been given a position of basically 2RC to the king, a prime minister of a particular area, but the Babylonians didn't like this, so they schemed against him. They went to the king, they stroked his ego, and they said, "King Darius, I think you should put this in law that nobody can pray to anyone but you for the next 30 days. We've all agreed." Now that was a lie. Daniel didn't agree to this. They went behind his back. But what was Daniel's response? After finding out that it had become law, that he could only pray to King Darius, what was his response? Open windows, kneeling, praying as usual. Not hiding or panicking. What an incredible, there's something, and I want to spend a couple of moments here. There's something in this story for each and every single one of us, but notice how Daniel wasn't praying. He didn't start praying because of what was happening. There's a key phrase there. It says, just as he had done before. It said 3 times a day he got on his knees, faced Jerusalem, and prayed. Just as he had done before. For 3 times a day, for how many years? This man was well into his 80s. This is a man that had consistent devotion. This wasn't a man that was praying to suddenly ask God for deliverance. No, God, this is wrong. This cannot be right. You gotta break this law. Coming with his pitchfork, standing, stake my ground. No, none of that. Praying as usual, giving thanks to God in a time of crisis. What an incredible relationship with God Daniel must have had. And we might ask, well, why didn't he just close the windows and pray quietly and is locked away? Why was he facing Jerusalem? What was that all about? You see, in Jerusalem was the temple. But the temple wasn't just a place for Daniel. The temple represented God's presence. So in him getting on his knees and facing Jerusalem, facing the temple, he was actually, it's a heart issue here. He was turning toward God. He was actually, all he was praying was, God, I want to be with you. I want to be in your presence. I want to draw alongside you. Don't worry what's going on the outside. Don't worry about the fact that I can't pray. I'm going to carry on praying. I want to be with you. I want to experience more of you. I haven't got enough of you yet. Daniel didn't start praying to avoid the lion's den. He prayed to be with God. He prayed to draw alongside God. He wasn't praying for rescue. He was praying just to be with his heavenly Father. How many of us get this right? How many of us view prayer as the steering wheel instead of a spare wheel? Praying in times of crisis, in times of emergency, praying for deliverance instead of spending time with God consistently before, during, and after a crisis situation. Daniel was well into his old age, as I've said, almost 80 years old. His devotion was consistent. He had a relationship with God. He was experiencing God on a daily basis. Consistent devotion, friends, brings revelation and it builds courage. The strength that Daniel would have in the lion's den later on in this chapter was forged in the closet, praying for many, many years before he would face this crisis. I don't know if this isn't a picture of how important it is to start your day with the Lord. I don't know what is. Abraham had this habit. In Genesis 19, verse 27, it says, early the next morning, Abraham got up and returned to the place where he stood before the Lord. All throughout Psalms, it speaks about how David did this. David had this habit. Jesus Christ modeled this for us. Mark 1, verse 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. But often, our objection is, or our reluctancy is that, but I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. How do I pray? What must I pray about? Many of us freeze at the thought of prayer because we think it needs to look a certain way, that it needs to be long, that it needs to be fancy, that we need to use certain terminology, that it needs to have the perfect words to please God. But the truth is, friends, that Daniel's strength wasn't in the length of his prayers. It was in the consistency and the focus. Over time, yes, Daniel probably was praying for a long time. He probably was praying for 20, 30 minutes, three times a day. But I'm pretty sure it didn't start like that. It started with small prayers, but consistency. Consistent devotion brings revelation and it builds courage. Opening up the Bible app to read the verse of the day and watch the 3-minute teaching video on the Bible app, is that ritual or is that devotion? Praying before you jump into bed at night or before you jump out of bed in the morning, is that ritual or devotion? Praying before a sporting fixture or praying before you need to do a presentation, is that ritual or devotion? You see, rituals in the sense, in a biblical sense, refer to the external religious practices. But the thing about a ritual is it's all outward behavior, and it's generally performed with a heart that's far from God. Or maybe not a heart that's far from God, but without a sincere heart, without actually bringing God into what we are doing. And Isaiah 29 verse 13 warns of this. It says, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules that they have been taught. Rituals lack connection with God. But devotion, on the other hand, means a living relationship with a living God. It means a relationship and an experience of God. It means an experience through prayer. It means an experience through reading His Word, opening Scripture and reading it, and asking God to reveal Himself through Scripture. It's experiencing God through confession of our sin to Him. It's experiencing God through thanksgiving and praise, giving Him the glory, giving Him the honor. It's an inward relationship that overflows because of the revelation that consistent devotion brings and the courage that gets built within us. Devotion and spending time with our Heavenly Father is what brings revelation. Revelation more and more. We cannot get enough revelation from God. He reveals things to us. He opens our eyes to things. In 2 Kings 6, verse 15 to 17, in 2 Kings 6, there's an incredible passage of Elisha, this interaction between Elisha and a servant of his, where the servant, let me read it. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. This is Elisha speaking. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. What an incredible encounter. Elisha, a man, a prophet, a prophet that had devoted his life to God, had a relationship. It was experiencing God on a daily basis. He already saw what was going on around him. God was revealing to Elisha his hand of protection over Elisha's life. And Elisha prays, the servant cannot see it. And Elisha prays, "Open his eyes so that he may see." I feel like there's going to be open eyes this morning. Open eyes in the sense of God revealing Himself in new and fresh ways when we bring our consistent devotion and our consistent prayer to Him. Opening our eyes to see where He's at work in our lives, where He's at work in the people around us, and where He's at work in His church, in His body. Consistent devotion brings revelation and builds courage. For Daniel, prayer wasn't a performance. It was a connection with God. Just like my marriage is not about the certificate, my marriage license does not sum up my marriage. It's about the ongoing relationship. The certificate is not what keeps the marriage alive. It's an ongoing effort and experience that keeps the marriage alive. For those that are married and those that aren't married, picture this kind of a picture. A husband and a wife that only speak to each other once a week. How many of us here believe that that marriage is going to flourish, that marriage is going to do well, once a week? Or a marriage where a husband and spouse only spoke in very formal language, good, prim, and proper English, only very formal language. Is that relationship going to flourish? Is that relationship going to do well? The same can be said for prayer. It's the ordinary, it's the daily, it's the honest conversations with God that are going to grow our intimacy with God. John 15 verse 5, an incredible passage of a verse where Jesus is speaking. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Friends, our devotion, our reading of Scripture, our reading of God's Word, our prayer life is what keeps us connected to the vine. And the vine here, Jesus is saying, "I am the source. I am the vine. Stay connected to me." And our prayer life, our devotional life, is one way that keeps us connected to God. It's not about a checklist. It's not about getting through the Bible in 365 days. Let me tick these passages of Scripture. Okay, I'm done. move on. Or, okay, I prayed today, great. It's not about that at all. It's about a relationship. God wants to hear from you. God wants you to draw alongside him. He gets great pleasure when we draw alongside God, when we reach out in relationship with him. Abide in me. This is speaking about it's ongoing. It's a relationship that's going to require effort, but it is an experience of God, not just a ritual, not just a once-off, okay, abide in me and then it's done. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It reminds us that we need to be dependent on God. It shifts our perspective from a self-dependence to a God-dependence, depending on God, going to him daily. Prayer was never meant to be a religious duty. Reading God's word was never meant to be a religious duty. It's an ongoing relationship and dialogue with a very much living God. Consistent devotion is what brings revelation and it builds courage in us, friends. Daniel gave thanks to God, even under pressure, in a crisis situation, where it was against the law to pray to anyone else but King Darius. That's a real relationship. But what does this relationship in prayer and our devotional life look like? Can I first suggest it's actually simply just talking to God openly and honestly? God wants our real words. God wants our honesty. God wants our gratitude. He wants our thanksgiving. He wants our questions. Can I say that? God wants our questions. God wants our hopes. God wants our dreams. Ultimately, God already knows it. So then we might think, well, then why pray? Because then God invites us to experience a relationship with him. He wants to hear from us. Don't worry about the fancy words, the terminology, the religious jargon. In fact, God wants none of that. He wants to talk with you. He wants you to pray, to connect with him, spend time with your Heavenly Father. He wants you to be close to him. He wants you to draw near to him because he can't help himself. He wants to draw near to you because he loves you too much to leave you the same. Real prayer and devotion is pouring out our hearts to God. The Psalms are full of raw honesty. Psalm 13, verse 1 to 2, this is David speaking to God. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? That is God, that is David speaking to God. It's raw honesty. God wants our questions. He wants our real words. How are you feeling? And then in Psalm 23, verse 1, giving God all the glory, all the thanks, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. When prayer is simply ritual, it's going to break under pressure. But when devotion and prayer are real, God brings with it revelation. He reveals himself to us in increasing measure. And he builds courage within us for when we face those crisis situations. Consistent devotion brings revelation and builds courage. Can I also say that the consistency of our prayer is far more important than the length of our prayer? We don't need to be praying for 20 minutes a day right away. 3 times a day, possibly. If you're already doing that, fantastic. That's great. But praying for 20 minutes once a week, is that consistency? Possibly setting aside small times, a 2 minutes, a 5 minutes, here and there, to pray and talk to God. Just simply talk to him maybe at first. Because that is prayer, friends. Instead of waiting for the end of the day when, okay, I might have time then. Or waiting for the life group meeting or the Sunday gathering to pray. If prayer is only occasional, crisis will crush you. If prayer is consistent, all crisis is going to actually do is just reveal the courage that God's already built up within you. Relationship is also two-way. We need to be leaving space for God to speak too. Leaving space for God to reveal scripture, reading scripture instead of just, okay, I've read chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. Great. Ask God, what are you saying in these scriptures? Yes, they may be written for people 2,000 years ago, but they are very much relevant to us today as well. God, what are you saying through these scriptures? If we look at Daniel, God had been revealing himself to Daniel for many, many, many years. Daniel didn't panic. Daniel didn't fret. All he did was actually go and give thanks to God 3 times a day, as he had done before. Consistent devotion brings revelation and builds courage. Further on in this chapter, we get to the story where Daniel is actually thrown in the lion's den. The king's hands are tied. King Darius actually had a real soft spot for Daniel. But his hands were tied. He couldn't do anything about it. It said it. He tried for the rest of the day when Daniel was eventually caught, because those leaders knew that he would go and pray. When he was eventually caught and dragged before the king tried for the rest of the day. It says the king tried before nightfall to try and free Daniel, but he couldn't. And so the king, with his hands tied, was forced to send Daniel and throw Daniel into the lion's den. And it says that that king didn't sleep a wink, did not sleep at all, was so worried that Daniel was going to be eaten alive. The next morning he runs out, he comes to God, or comes to Daniel. And Daniel's just there, waiting. And he says, no, my God shut an angel. Sorry, my God sent an angel to shut the mouth of the lions. What a great story. Amen, we can leave it at there. There's a couple of things that I'd like to extract from this story. Firstly, it was Daniel's faith in God that delivered him. Through many, many years of consistent devotion, consistent prayer, God had been revealing himself to Daniel. Daniel had an incredible relationship with God, but his daily fellowship was a secret tier. Allowed him to have a faith that God was actually going to rescue him. And even if God didn't rescue him, Daniel's faith wasn't going to waver. But God had also reserved the right or the rescue for himself. Excuse me, sorry. God had reserved the right to rescue Daniel for himself. He wanted to be the one to rescue his boy. He wanted to be the one to send the angel to shut the mouths of the lions so that Daniel would make it out alive. It was Daniel's daily fellowship with God that was the secret. Christians today face many temptations all around us to compromise, and it often feels the safest course to go with the crowd. But in actual fact, it's the most dangerous course. The safest place to be is in the will of God. But in those crisis situations, if our devotional lives and if our prayer and our experience of God is consistent, the revelation that gets brought with it of God and the courage that gets built up within us is going to stand the test of those crisis situations. The miracle wasn't that Daniel just survived and amen, great story. God rescued him. Yes, he did. But God was with him long before being thrown in the lion's den. God was with him during the lion's den. And God was with him right up until the end of Daniel's life. God desires for us to draw alongside him. Long before we hit crisis situations. And long after. But this story points toward something far bigger. Far more important. Just as he sent an angel to shut the mouth of the lions, God sent his son many years later to shut the mouth of death. John 1 verse 14 says, "The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Friends, Jesus was sent. Jesus was sent by his Father. He left his throne. He became flesh and he dwelt amongst human beings. He lived a human life for 30 odd years. He was sent on a rescue mission of reconciliation. God is a consistent God. This relationship, this sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for each and every single one of us, this rescue mission that Jesus Christ came to accomplish, allows us the ability to go and sit on our Father's lap, to go and pray to God, to go and read His Word, to go have a real relationship and experience God for ourselves. Because ultimately, in each and every single one of our hearts is a natural rebellion. We don't need to try. We oppose God naturally. If you think about what I was saying in the beginning, us devoting ourselves to the small things in our lives that become idols, God's created that devotion for Himself. But we naturally gravitate towards the sport, towards whatever it is in our lives. Our phones, our work. You can fill in the blank there. We naturally do that. We oppose God naturally without even trying. But there's good news. God loves us too much to leave us as we are. Romans 5 verse 8 says, "For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice, took our sin, because the punishment of sin is death. And we deserve to die. He took that for us. He took it on our behalf. He entered the grave. Or he gave up His life, entered the grave. But we know the story doesn't end there. The grave couldn't keep Him. He rose from the dead and He conquered the grip that death has over each and every single one of us. The path of destruction that we are headed on before Jesus Christ's sacrifice, before we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, no longer has a hold on us, because once we cross the line of salvation, once we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what He has done and accomplished for us, we get to start partaking in this living relationship with a living God. God loves us too much to leave us the same.